To see examples of what we talked about on this episode, along with further information, go to bunchofdorks.com.
Welcome, everyone, to
Two Dimension Podcast,
the comic book podcast
with no direction. What's up, everybody? You know that song, you know this voice. It's your boy Rook. I am sans Don this evening. I feel better, buddy. But joining us tonight is the returned Mr. Kevin Knox. How you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Oh, man, I am fantastic. Talking to you again about Embers. Embers issue 2.
Right.
Man, starts off right where you left off. Picking up after the fact, first off, I want to talk about this cover. Gorgeous, gorgeous color on this cover, man. Yeah. And it's continued throughout the book. Was that a very conscious decision again on your part?
The color green was my choice. Cameron, who was the illustrator, got really excited about the character of the djinn. So he just went crazy with it, and you see the result. The cover was one of the first things he did, and he just got so excited he had to show it to me, and I think it turned out great. I love it. Yeah. Oh,
yeah. I remember when we got the email talking about you coming on again, and I opened it up, and I was like, whoa, okay.
Yeah.
So yeah, bright, beautiful. Introduces some new characters. We got the djinn first off. Right. Introduces a little bit of intrigue with some stuff going on. Yeah. You know, so we talked last time about the historical significance with the story that you're talking about. How do you expand on that stuff in this new issue?
So I suppose, yeah, the djinn might have, even though it's an interesting new character, it might have been a bit of a curveball there in terms of the history of it. And I've thought about that. So I guess I don't want to give away too much because there's actually more coming with respect to the history. But what a lot of people don't realize, I guess, is how connected the world was in the past. They think, oh, you know, now that we have airplanes, automobiles, all this kind of stuff, there's a lot more travel from here to there. And it is a lot easier, obviously, but the world was actually very connected in the past, probably more than a lot of people realize. And so there is a historical connection between these two characters that I'm kind of hiding for the moment.
Nice. Yes. Yes. Keep it coming back.
That's right.
And yes, there is historical connection, and people traveled much further than we ever thought we're finding out.
Right.
Which is fantastic. And, you know, bringing in a character like the djinn, a lot of people might go, whoa, wait a minute here. But as you said, there's historical connection that you're going to get into, I assume, in later issues here.
Right. Right. Yeah. I know it's always hard for me. I'm trying to find the right balance between I want this world to be, in a sense, realistic. I mean, I know with the knight and the djinn, there's a bit of magic and fantasy to it and all, but I want it to have that feeling of how real it is. And I guess so one thing I'm trying to bring to it is sometimes life can be very confusing. And so, you know, for example, in issue 1, when we introduce the knight, it's sort of like you're introducing the good guy, and it's sort of like, why? I mean, you know, typically the way a story like this would start off is the bad guy does something bad, and that's why the good guy has to show up. And that didn't happen in issue 1 here. And so the bad guy doesn't show up until issue 2. And so it's kind of that confusing what's going on here sort of aspect to it. And to me, that actually helps it feel more real, helps you put you in Trinity's head a little bit more, where for someone who this is actually happening to, it is very confusing. She's also trying to figure out what's going on.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, absolutely. And I got to tell you, I was trying to figure out what was going on because I'm like, wait a minute. How does this fit into the map?
Right.
You know.
Right. Right.
Talk for a minute about Polycarp. Is that right?
Yes. Okay. Yes.
So she shows up to help her out, and we find that there might be some more connection happening here between these characters.
Right, right. So, yeah. So James and Polly know each other from the past. Right. I mean, they you know, were family friends and kind of grew up together and so forth. but yeah, what you find out is there's an unknown connection between Trinity and Polly, in that they're sharing the same demons, if you want to put it that way.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. I like it.
Almost literal sense, yeah.
Yeah.
and so their past is haunted by the same problems, and they don't realize that until they meet each other. And then, as you see in the books, something happens that brings a really strong connection to them.
Yeah.
Which, when they find out, the djinn is actually kind of behind the scenes pulling some strings here and messing with their minds a little bit. So, yeah.
Yeah. I found your ability to add to the story while introducing new characters easily to the flow. It was fantastic. Polly just kind of fit right in and just get rolling into the story. And then we find her connections, through the event, we're going to call it.
Right.
I don't want to give anything away. This book is so easy to talk about, but it's like, yeah. I don't want to spoil things for people because it's really fantastic. As far as what's happened here with the end of this book, the coins. Now, am I understanding right? We're reading through. Polly had a necklace with a coin on it.
It was just a necklace.
It was just a necklace.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Okay. All right. All right. So that's one question I had, because I was like, wait a minute, did Polly have a coin on a necklace, or did she? So
they basically end up combining. She has a necklace. Trinity has the coin, so they put the coin on the necklace. Kind of a symbol of their friendship, I guess you could say. Yeah.
Got it. Yeah, it's very, very fun. For this issue, what is it that you really want people to look at and go, oh man, this is the spot where things are happening? Is it the meeting of new characters? Is it the events later in the book?
It might actually be two things. Yeah, I think it's the two characters and the connection that forms between them. Because like I said, you know, in the first issue, you didn't get to meet the bad guy, the villain. Now you get to meet her and find out that villain is actually what connects them. So I'm hoping people really can dig into that. But also, one thing I liked about it is actually there's a page where Trinity is reading a comic book, and I don't want to talk about what she's reading. I just love this idea of the book within a book. And when my son saw it, he was like staring at it, go, wow, you can actually like almost read the comic book that she's reading, you know, and that's on purpose. So I hope people will stare at that page for a while and try and dig out the details of what she's actually reading there.
That was a fun piece on there. That's one of the things I really wanted to talk to you about, was the book inside the book, the comic that she starts reading. Does she not make the connection at that point in any way?
She does somewhat. I mean, I guess it's a surprise to her to see someone she's actually met in a comic book.
Right.
So she's struggling to figure out how do I put that together? You know, so is this guy wearing a costume and pretending, you know, or is he real? Or, you know, like all these possibilities start coming out of it. Yeah. So.
Yeah. That part there fascinated me, because I was like, well, wait a minute. If she sees this, surely she must like get some kind of connection here and figure it out. And then going on, you know, we have events that happened.
Yeah.
The return of someone in particular.
Right.
You know, it's Ah, oh, it's so hard. I want to talk and not spoil things for people. You know, how was it working on issue two compared to issue one? Did you find it just as enjoyable, or do you have more fun?
It was. It was really interesting because in issue one, Cameron, who I mentioned is the illustrator, he stuck very close to the script. Mm-hmm. And yet it was actually, he contributed so much to issue one. It's kind of hard to explain, but he basically, in a sense, he almost retold the story and made it work better as a comic book than my original script did. And so that was a huge contribution that he made to issue one. So that was like a challenge to me. So for issue two, I worked really hard on the script. It's like, he's not going to do that again. I'm going to get him this time, you know? I was trying really hard to make the script work and all that kind of stuff. I gave it to him and he looked at, and this time now he's into the story. So he's starting to get his own opinions. And so he came back and he was like, there was one point, it's basically when I guess I can say that somebody gets hurt. And so there's something that happens in a hospital. Okay. And Cameron came to me and he said, Trinity wouldn't do what you've got in this script. She just wouldn't do it. And so we argue back and forth and back and forth. And basically I was trying to convey the guilt that Trinity was feeling with. And so she was basically wanting to run away from her problems. And Cameron, he really objected. He's like, no, she wouldn't do that. And so we changed it and she ends up not running away from her problems. And so even though the script is, and the story is much more mine this time, he was actually he's starting to step in and he's got opinions about what the characters would do and all this kind of thing. And so that scene in the hospital is partially his. And then actually, towards the end of the book, like the second to last page was actually something that was his idea as well in terms of something, a change in what the characters were doing. So that was very different.
Yeah.
You know, working with him on the actual story arc and so forth.
Yeah. How do you feel collaborating back and forth, having somebody who's now really invested working with you? That's gotta be a lot of fun.
It is. It's a lot of fun. Yeah. It's a lot more fun than having, you know, the feeling that they just don't care about the story. And
yeah, know, I'm going to draw your stuff. Just pay me.
Right. Right. Bad. Yeah.
So moving forward with this issue, we talked for a minute before we got started about the Kickstarter. You said you're retooling a couple of things and coming back in April with it. Do you mind if I ask what it was that you felt that you needed to either change or fix?
It's sort of interesting. One discussion we had. So I can say that Cameron actually has some books of his own that he works on, as well as Jeremiah has had some books of his own. And so we were having discussions about how independent should my book be from the work that they're doing. And they really wanted to keep things separated where, okay, you know, their book is their book and so forth. And then this collaborative book is really the only place where we overlap. Made it difficult to draw on some support and some resources that we needed to get the Kickstarter going. Right. So now I have to go off and work on finding some of my own resources and so forth in terms of getting the Kickstarter going. Cause you know, you have to get some advertising out there. You have to get people to see it and you can get it and make sure it gets in front of them and different things like that. So I guess it all comes down to the business side of making a comic book, you know, in terms of how much advertising money do you spend trying to get people's attention and how much campaigning do I do? And so it more or less comes down to me getting out there more on my own and selling it and pushing the book. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. So are you you're looking at doing more hands-on out there, social media stuff, getting everybody interested, drumming up support and everything.
Right.
Are you finding this the more difficult task compared to writing the book?
It's actually a lot more difficult than writing the book. And part of it is because my circle of friends does not read a lot of comic books. So trying to convince them is a hard sell. So I'm basically trying to find that, you know, a new group to connect with and so forth. That's a little more into comic books. And yeah. So this is the perfect place to do it, is something like this.
There you go. You know, get on as many podcasts as you can and join all the groups on Facebook. And then sit there when you're not campaigning going, why am I on all these groups? Well, you know, the good thing is these days there's a lot of resources out there for people doing Kickstarters to be able to get into the eyes of the public. Some of it's kind of like held close to the chest by many of these artists and writers. Others, it's just like, hey, here you go. Here's like a whole wealth of information for you. Are you finding people holding, or are you able to find the groups and other things that you're looking for?
It's a little bit of both. I mean, yeah, some people are really open and willing to share and help, and that's great, you know. And some people, and it kind of comes down to, I think, how much they're depending on. I mean, some of the guys that I know, comic books are their living, you know, so they have to protect their space, their business, so forth, you know. Yeah. And I understand that. That's the way it is. So that's what you have to do. Yeah. So yeah, I get it. It happens both ways, where some people are really open with me and some people play it pretty close to the vest. Yeah.
Well, you know, all in all, it's a community, and I feel like we need to work as a community to help each other out. So, anybody listening out there that's got some ideas on where to throw your books on Facebook, Reddit, wherever, come on, speak up.
Yep, exactly.
It's in the comments, people.
Yep.
So, how are you doing as far as the next issues? Are you still looking at doing the full numbers that you were talking about before?
Yep, the series is planned for 6 issues, and that's still what we're shooting for. It took a little bit longer than I wanted to get issue 2 out, so I was hoping, you know, that's part of maintaining the momentum is being able to get the issues out there faster. And so that's something I want to work on this next time, is getting issue 3 out sooner so that people aren't waiting so long. They don't forget about it or lose interest or whatever it might be. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and that's one of the, I think for me as someone who funds Kickstarters constantly, I notice books that I'm like, wait, I funded. Why am I getting a message on this? I funded. Oh yeah. Oh, I funded that. Now I remember. Like, I had something pop up the other day that I had funded the first issue like over a year ago, and I had forgotten all about it. Honestly, you know, the printed piece is in a stack in the comic vault that I have, and now it pops back up, and I'm going, oh yeah. Oh, I remember this. That's got to be one of the concerns when doing a Kickstarter. Mm-hmm. Are you looking at a specific time frame of how many months in between issues?
Well, so it was almost a year between when issue 1 came out and issue 2. So I'm hoping that I could cut that down to maybe 6 months this next time. So I'm looking to cut it in half. And I did some research on that in terms of, well, how long does it take other people to put out an issue? And honestly, a year is not unusual for an independent book, for it to take a year to put out an issue. Then, you know, by the time you get to Marvel, they're putting out issues all the time. Right. So,
yeah.
So, but I'm hoping, we've got some ideas, bringing in some additional help and splitting up the workload a little bit so that we've got multiple people working on it at the same time.
Oh, there you go. There you go. I know, talking to another creator offline, just in chatting, They're having some issues with printing at the moment. I guess a few people are backed up with printing. That's incredibly frustrating for a lot of people. But like you mentioned, Marvel, they've got their own print companies and everything contracted. You know, as indie creators, you're trying to get into a spot on the press run that is also there for a number of other things, or, you know, time gets pushed back and things like that. Somebody who worked in printing for years myself, I know that frustration. So you got to find all the right elements when you're trying to put a book together. Is there anything in particular that you found incredibly frustrating?
It's funny that you mentioned the printer. So the printer that I worked with, that has actually been done really well for me in the past. But I have a show coming up in April. You know, we talked about how I'm going to try to get out there more. So I actually have a Comic-Con I'm going to be going to in Des Moines, Iowa, April 1st. And so the printer has not sent me my books yet for that show. So I'm like calling them and, how's it going? How, you know, is there a way we can speed this up?
Is it at least printed?
Right.
You know, just tell me it's printed and it's in assembly, would you?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the kind of stuff that can be incredibly frustrating when dealing with stuff like this. I'm curious, as you're dealing with all this stuff, what do you do to take yourself away from it and clear your mind so you can come back to it again the next day? You got something that keeps you going?
Oh yeah, I've got a couple. I mean, my wife and I have three dogs.
There you go.
So they like, and especially one of them loves to get out and run, and she loves, you know, chasing frisbees and that kind of thing. So it's just nice to get outside and watch her energy and stuff as I throw the frisbee and she chases around. So that's one thing. And then also our grandson. So we go spend time with my grandson and my son and his family and so forth. That's a good thing to do. So those types of things, I guess, is a way to get away. Yeah.
Oh yeah, you gotta have that when you're trying to focus on creative stuff. Burnout is a real thing, and it's something that we all deal with as creatives. Right. You get to a certain point where you're like, oh, here's the wall.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So, with oh man, I want to talk about. I want to talk about who the Jin calls master so badly.
Oh, yeah.
That was something that I really had to jump back and go, wait, who is she talking? You know, so you say your villain isn't introduced until the second issue, but there's something else happening.
Yeah, there is.
And yeah, I don't know how far we can talk about that, because that's something that I found really interesting.
Yeah. So, yeah, I guess we can say, you know, the villain does have a connection to someone from issue one.
Yeah.
And I tried to play with that a little bit. And actually, we tried a few things. For example, with the way the camera was drawing some of the characters, he sometimes draws them in shadow that he was hoping that that people might look at it and wonder, well, is that this character or that character in a few of the panels, to help build that mystery a little bit about, okay, who is the Jin actually working with here?
Yeah, that's kind of one of the things I was curious about, because when the Jin interacts with that person, you don't see a face, really.
Right.
So it leaves me wondering, is it them or is it something else? I know we can't, we're not talking spoilers here, guys. Yeah. Everybody relax. the first couple panels in this book, everybody is silhouetted. up until they get into the cab of the truck. Absolutely gorgeous, letting the background tell the story. Was that planned? Was that Cameron?
That was Cameron, yeah, that decided to do it that way. So, yep.
Yeah, what a great way to do it, because, yeah, as you said, it does leave you sitting there thinking, going, okay, well, who's who now?
Right.
So, yeah. Oh, man. There's so many other questions I want to ask that I know I can't have answers to.
Well, I suppose when we get to issue 3, then you can finally ask your questions about issue 2, right?
Yeah, maybe I'll probably have more questions.
Yeah.
So, as far as comics go, are you drawing inspiration for your story from anything that you've picked up since issue 1? As far as the way you're writing, what has been your major changes in the writing style or how you write?
Well, so in terms of my own research, I've based a lot of it on the book. It's Understanding Comics.
Okay.
You heard of that? Because it goes through the art part of it, which is relatively new to me, and how you can use the pictures and the layout of the page and different panel styles and all those different things, how that all plays into telling the story. And so I do think about that, even though a lot of it still comes from Cameron, and I do think about those types of details. So that book has been a large help for me. But then honestly, the rest of it comes from the guys that I've met at Comic-Cons, just sitting around talking about different ways to do it.
Yeah.
Different way that people like to lay out a page and different things. So, yeah, just from talking to people.
Now I know you're retooling the Kickstarter at the moment, working on some stuff. I'm a big sticker nut, big sticker nut.
Yeah.
And so I see this sticker and I just gotta ask, is it gonna be part of the next kick?
Yeah that's
nice. The plan.
Yeah,
okay, good. That was very important to me. It seems ridiculous, but I love stickers.
No, that's good. Yeah, I get it.
You know, with what you had before with Kickstarter, you had some very – really, your goal was not very large what you're doing, printing and everything. We usually see people go at least over $1,000 in their goals. You were only at $750. I'm just curious, what made you think that was your goal point? That's going to be enough, everything you need for this, because everybody else seems to be so much higher in their goal lines.
Right. I guess it was largely based on knowing what my sales for issue 1 were and how many copies I wanted to have for some of the upcoming conventions I'm going to. And we did talk about that a little bit, but it's a weird conversation to have, but it's like, even though I know that that's enough to get me through these next couple of conventions, you know, and once I start selling books, then I finally got some cash coming in, you know, that I can use to then print the next round and so forth. But even though I was thinking this will probably get me through, the question did come up, but maybe that makes your project look too small, that maybe people want to be a part of something bigger. And, you know, so instead of just thinking of what are your short-term needs, think about, maybe we should be pitching, hey, you know, not only help us out with printing what we need for issue 2, but help us out with, you know, funding for the long term and make sure that this series continues on. So we did talk about some of those kind of things, and maybe that's something we should consider when we retool this, is going that direction instead and asking, you know, going after the bigger prize.
Personally, I look at that and go, oh, dude, this is totally getting funded. Well, I look personally on stuff that I'm looking for Kickstarters that, like, I see Kickstarters that are like $10,000 to get this funded, and I'm going, I'll watch this one, but I really want to fund it, but like, I don't want to be disappointed. I really felt like, when I saw yours come off of it, and I just kind of went, wait, no, why?
Yeah, I know.
My poor wife was actually sitting next to me when I was scrolling around on Kickstarter last night, and I'm like, and she goes, what? I was like, something just stopped. It just stopped. I don't know why. So, well, I'm very glad to hear that it's still in motion and still going. It's just a matter of rethinking, looking at it again from another perspective. Moving forward with the books, I have to ask, are you going to continue to do these single character style covers? Because this has almost become like a hallmark for this book at this point, with this bright color that gets carried through the
book. So that's interesting you asked that. I guess I never thought of that, because I was just thinking, I have an idea for the cover for issue 3. So far, Cameron has done the covers all by himself. I didn't do anything to suggest it. This time I actually have an idea, and I just realized it actually is a single character cover again. So like, maybe that is kind of becoming our hallmark to do it that way. That's funny, because I guess I hadn't noticed that before.
Well, sorry to throw monkey wrenches at you.
No, that's good. I mean, there are a couple things, you know, I've had the same thing happen. As I was reading issue 2, it may sound strange, but there was stuff that I discovered about the story and how it was going that kind of made me go, huh, I'd never noticed that before, but I really like it that way.
Well, that's always good, opposed to, oh no, I have to fix that.
Yeah. And I can tell you one of them, an example of it is the character of Trinity herself. So, you know, there is a superhero of sorts, if you want to call him that, in the story, which is the Knight. And in issue 2, you finally find out what his name is. I don't know if you noticed that, but his name does show up in the book. Well, you're looking at me like you didn't see it.
Yeah, I'm like going back to issue 2. I'm like, wait, what?
Well, now you've got something to go hunt down in issue 2, because his name does show up in there finally. So now you know what he's called. But anyway, that's our superhero of sorts, if you want to call it that. But he's not the main character. You know, Trinity is the main character, and she's just a normal girl, more or less. Right. And it hadn't really struck me fully, I guess. I mean, obviously that was intentional on my part to do it that way, but I hadn't realized how that's different from a lot of the other comic books, at least that I've read in the past. So it's not an idea I picked up from other books. It was just something that I wanted to do for this book, and then it hadn't struck me how unique it is compared to what I've read in the past. And so I was like, that's really interesting how the Knight character is kind of in the background a little bit. He's not out in front leading the story. Yeah.
I'll be honest, I thought that I noticed that really your the focus is around Trinity and her story and her progression, and the Knight is kind of in the background. Just it feels like he's waiting to take action, waiting to be told to take action in a way too. I really thought that was very intentional, the storytelling device that you were using.
It was, and it's hard to explain it maybe, because it was and yet it wasn't. It was sort of like, you know, I wanted Trinity, I guess what I would say is, I wanted Trinity to be a normal person, and yet I wanted this world to have that magical quality to it. And so I put all of that into the character of the Knight. Mm-hmm. But I didn't quite realize what sort of relationship that was creating between those two characters, and how, you know, it's putting all that magic in the background, supporting this everyday normal person.
It's definitely something I noticed. And the other thing I noticed was that the book is very much a female driven character book, between what you've done with Trinity and now with Polly. it feels like it's very much driven by that instead of this continuous macho masculine instead the masculine part of it seems to be held in reserve, kind of like just waiting to be told what to do. It's kind of how I was observing.
Yes, and that was very intentional on my part. I guess I could throw a little teaser out there in terms of even though this particular series is 6 issues, I do have ideas for other books that would come after this one, other series that build on the same world, not necessarily the same characters, but the same world. And so building up Trinity's character is actually important to pulling that all off.
Okay.
And so even though Trinity might not be the main character in the next series, it's really going to help to have all that background and all that familiarity with who she is and so forth in terms of understanding the one that comes next. So a little teaser to throw out there for the future.
I like it. So when working on it, when you're working on a single issue, do you find yourself restraining your writing so that you don't overdo the historical portions of it?
Yes.
Yeah. I know. I'm a big history nut. I know you're very educated in historical information. You kind of want to put that out there, but you're like, will they read it?
Right. Exactly. Yes. I have a lot more I could put in there. I will. So issue 3, again, I guess another teaser, actually starts to pull some of these historical threads together, and you start to see some of the connections between them. So there is a lot more history in issue 3, but I think I'm hoping that I've set everything up well so that it's not boring or too much, or it'll just kind of all flow naturally with the story and the characters and so forth. So we'll see if I make that work right. On the flip side of it, one thing I've had to do is kind of push myself to put more action into the story. The way I wrote it, there was actually a little bit less.
Okay.
And Cameron and Jeremiah were pushing me to, the way it came across to me is, you know, you need to grab the reader by the throat and then just never let go and make sure that you keep it going the whole way through the book. Whereas I had more moments where like Trinity would kind of stop and reflect a little bit more on what had happened, and there'd be sort of a pause or, you know, a break in the action for a little bit. And they were pushing me to keep it going. So I probably upped the action more than in terms of what my normal writing style would have been otherwise. So
do you think that's the difference between writing comics versus prose writing?
I think it is, because in comics, what I've learned is that in comics, you can pack so much story into the illustrations, into the artwork, that you don't have to depend on the characters talking the way they do in a normal prose book. And so I can still put all that story in there that I like to have. It's kind of always in the background behind the action. And so someone can read it through the first time and just read it for the action story. And then those who want to reread it can go back through a second time and look at, slow themselves down a little bit and read all the stuff that's in the drawings that maybe they didn't catch the first time. So that's
like the name of the night.
Yeah. Right. So that's sort of new to me, this idea that I don't have to get you to see everything the first time through, that I can concentrate on a good action story and still have all that other stuff for you to pick up on later.
Well, and I think that's one of the keys to good writing is when you have something that people go back and reread and they pick up little things. I always put that with Watchmen. The Watchmen is one of those books that no matter how many times I've read it, which I think I'm up to like maybe over a dozen, I see something different and notice something different every single time with that book.
Yeah.
Obviously, I have to go back and reread issue two of Embers because I totally missed the knight's name. And like, yeah. I'm sitting over here, I was trying to do like a quick scroll through and I'm going, no, this is not going to work. If I didn't notice it the first time as I was actually sitting here reading it, it was a quick scroll. It's not going to help.
So do you want to hit where it's at or are you going to dig through all on your own?
No. Let me dig. I love digging. I love the search, you know? Okay. And like you mentioned with the comic book that she picks up, I zoomed in on that page and I'm trying to like, okay, wow, look at this. This is cool.
Yep. So I will tell you, we actually have a full layout for that. So, yes.
Yes, I noticed that. I didn't want to say just in case it got set to the side.
Yeah.
Yeah. That so now that piece, the full layout for that, is it the entire comic?
It's just those two pages.
Just those two pages. Okay. Right. And then I noticed you were talking about people's names on the insert. Right. Is that going to be your built?
So the insert would have been the actual two pages that she was reading. So you could actually go through it in detail and see it better, maybe a little bit better than what you see in the book itself. Yeah.
Nice. Oh, I dig it. It's so much fun to see someone working with history in comics and trying to do it the right way. Instead of like this absolutely fantasized version of it.
Yeah.
Granted, you have the fantasy elements with the magical connections and things, but you're really trying to put information out there that a lot of people weren't aware of. Like we talked about with issue one, I had no idea about some of these things with the connections with the Confederacies during the Civil War. When it comes to something like that, do you get a bigger smile from people that are like, this book is really cool, or like, this book actually taught me something I didn't know this?
I guess both. I don't know. Anytime somebody likes it, I'm happy with that. But maybe the people who like it for the history part is more unusual. So I'm glad you like that. It wasn't necessarily something I expected to see. You know, it was a lot of people reading it for the history part of it. But yeah.
Yeah.
So, it may be a surprise to some people how much of a connection there is between Germans and Texas.
I had no idea.
Yeah. But as I'm kind of hinting with the knight, you know, it goes back even further than the Civil War. There's a connection that goes back even farther than that. So that you'll learn about later on. Yeah.
Yeah, it's history is a fascinating thing, and we learn more and more all the time, you know. So, I have friends who are educators, and they'll ask me about books that could have historical information or any kind of educational information. I think once yours is all written and done, I'm going to be handing copies to them going, here, you should look at this.
That would be great. I'd love it.
I mean, you know, looking through the book so far, there's nothing, you don't have vulgarity, like vulgarity, heavy violence, you know. I think this book, you know, if collected into a trade, would sit well on like a high school library shelf for kids to read.
I agree. High school, for you know, might be a bit much for elementary school, maybe. I don't know, but no. Yeah. You don't think so?
No. Yeah. Not elementary school.
Right.
Those they're not interested in this stuff. Not yet.
Yeah.
All right, so out there on the internet, where can everybody find Embers?
So we're on Facebook. We have a Facebook page, and you can just type Embers Comics into Facebook and you should find it. And then also on Instagram if you want to go there as well. again, just typing in Embers Comics should take you to our page on Instagram as well. And then we have an email address. So Embers Comics, and that's comics with an X. I have to keep reminding that. So C-O-M-I-X. But embers comics@gmail.com if you want to send me an email and talk to me about it as well. So
fantastic. Well, it's always a pleasure having you on the show. I really enjoy talking to you. And like I said, it's rare to come across a book that I go, wait, huh? Wait, I got to learn this. What's happening? I love that about it.
Yeah.
Remember, everybody, all the links, everything we talked about on the show is going to be linked on the blog. You can go there, bunchofdorks.com, click on that Cyclops. You'll find information and links to everything. And I'm going to blank on everything Don is usually supposed to be saying because I'm not that good. Don's going to kill me when he hears that part. let's see. Normally we have a music break when we don't have guests on. Don is looking for new artists. If you can make any kind of noise, even slapping together a pair of pans or pots, send it over to us. We'll probably end up playing it. We have t-shirts on the site for sale, helps us with the hosting fees, which just came due recently, and they helped quite nicely. Thank you, everyone. Buy t-shirts for all your friends for the upcoming holidays. Until next time, everybody, read more
Embers Comics.
You can hear our most recent 20 episodes on iTunes. If you would like to hear our older episodes, you can find them on our blog. Just go to bunchofdorks.com and click on the Cyclops.
Your Dimension can be found on iTunes and Stitcher Radio. If you like what you hear, you can subscribe, rate, leave a review, tell a friend, or like us on Facebook. Thanks for listening.